Matthew chapter 22, beginning with verse 15. Let us hear this word of the Lord. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap Jesus in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing the evil intent of their hearts, said, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax. He brought him a denarius, and he asked them, whose image is this, and whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. Then he said to them, so give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. When they heard this, they were amazed, so they left him and went away. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. This is the word of God for the children of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. I got to tell you that this passage today is from the lectionary. The lectionary is that guided walk through the Bible. And my United Methodist calendar, every Sunday, there are a bunch of scriptures that are listed, Old and New Testament and Psalms, along with a hymn. Scriptures that I should preach from. And every Sunday, it takes us through the Bible, you know. And so part of my preparation, I read some commentaries. I even read some other sermons. I go on the internet, do a little bit of research, pray about it. And it was interesting what I read about this passage, about render unto Caesar's that which is Caesar's and unto God that which is God. You know, that passage, that pericope, is one of the best known passages in the Bible. You know, John 3:16, we say a lot of people know, but I'll tell you, people who aren't even religious have heard this one, you know, render unto Caesar's that which is Caesar's. And render unto God that which is God's. So there were a lot of differing opinions in all these commentaries. Some people were saying, well, it says that we shouldn't pay a war tax, but we should obey authorities. Other people said, no, we shouldn't pay any tax at all. Other people said that, Jesus wasn't really giving them any kind of answer. He was just trying to confuse them because he always liked to turn their questions back on them. And he was just getting out of the trap. So I called a couple of my buddies, and when I was talking to them, a couple of colleagues, other pastors, and I asked them, you know, how do you interpret this? And the one fellow says, well, I don't. He says, I never preach on that passage. He says, I don't know what to make out of that. You know, and the other fellow says, well, I'm not sure. He says, it could mean a lot of different things, and wasn't helpful at all, you know. So what I'm going to tell you is what spoke to me. I mean, sometimes I'll give you the scriptures and I'll say, this is what God means. This is one of those passages where I say, thus saith Bruce. This is the way I interpret this. They were there to try to trick Jesus, first off. Because if they could get him to answer that, yes, pay the tax, just give it to Caesar, and he would leave it at that, his followers would get mad. Because Jesus was a political king to them. He was the one who was going to raise up an army and kick Rome out of the country. He was going to get rid of Caesar. That's why they thought Jesus was there. So if he sided with Caesar, it would just cause problems. Now, on the other hand, if he said, don't pay the tax to Caesar, then he would be a subversive, a troublemaker, and he would be in trouble with the Roman rule. It was like a no way out. But, you know, Jesus, give to Caesar's what is Caesar's, give to God's what is God's. So let me ask you, I got to follow the rules. We all got to live by rules. So I've got to give this card to Bonnie. Dear, I don't know what's in here, but, you know, Happy wife, happy life. So there you go. All right. How many people here bought something at the store this past week? Any store? Raise your hand. Okay, some of you didn't go shopping at all. How many people here were in a car this past week, either as a passenger or driver? Raise your hand. Okay. How many people here have bills, owe money to anybody? Raise your hand. Okay, those of you that didn't, come see me later. I need some help, okay? How many people here have used the facilities this week, either at home or away? Now, everybody should raise their hand, because unless you're going out in the woods, you've used the facilities. How many people here didn't take out your frustration and anger on your neighbors or coworkers? In other words, you didn't beat them up or anything. Raise your hand. All right. You know, I mean, the law says not to do that, so we don't, as much as we may want to. How many of us here went to work this past week? Okay. How many of us here paid a tax on anything, whether you bought it, paid real estate, income tax, or whatever? Okay. Just like we were telling the kids, we all live by rules, don't we? And if you've done any of those things, if you've provided for your family a roof over your heads and clothes and food and that, if you have obeyed the laws while driving your car, at least within reason, then you know what you've done? You have rendered unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. You have done that. Because to me, that's what that means. It's talking about the material world around us. It's talking about the authorities under which we live. In Romans chapter 13, verse 1, it says that we are to... Do you see Romans 13, 1 on there anywhere?
You're asking the wrong person, but I ain't got no glasses on.
Oh, I found it. Thanks. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except that which God has established. Now, if you continue to read in Romans 13, 1, you read on up till verse 7, it'll tell you that you're to respect the authorities, the government. You're to respect them, support them, pray for them. You are to be a good citizen. That's what we're supposed to do. Be a good citizen. But there's more that God has called us to do. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar, but render unto God that which is God's. So the question then is, if rendering unto Caesar is in the natural world and it's, you know, paying the taxes, obeying the government and that kind of thing, then what is rendering unto God what is God's? What is it that God requires of us? Micah chapter 6 verse 8. Micah is one of those Old Testament prophets. Micah chapter 6 verse 8 says, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." These are the three things that God requires of you and me. To act justly. To act justly means to be fair with everybody around you. To treat one another fairly. To love justice. To hate oppression and injustice, to help fix things that are broken, to act justly. So we are to act justly. And that means submitting to the authorities, upholding our judicial system. And if you don't like a law that we have, local, national, whatever, there are proper channels through which to change it. And so we are to do our best. We have a right in this country to voice our opinions, to complain, but there is a proper system to follow. obey the authorities. So we are to act justly. Number two is to love mercy. We're to love mercy. Now, that's a no-brainer. Because I want to tell you that we're all sinners, every one of us. We're all sinners in one way or another. And you know what sin does? It separates us from God. Puts a wall up. And if we are not with God, we have no life. We're talking about eternal damnation. If we are with God, we have life. Talking about the promised land in heaven. Romans tells us that the wages of sin is death. So every one of us deserve to die. And yet God, in his infinite wisdom and love and mercy, sent his son Jesus to die for us. And when we believe in Jesus and all that he did for us, that God raised him from the dead, and we invite Jesus into our hearts to control our lives, we surrender to Jesus. When we do that, we have eternal life. Now, we've received that mercy from God, and God is saying that we should love mercy. We should show mercy to one another. So we've done something that the other person doesn't like. We've stepped on each other's toes. We've hurt each other's feelings. Turn the other cheek. Turn the other cheek. And show mercy. Because mercy has been shown to us. Love one another. We are to love mercy. To live by mercy. It'll be okay. Everything will work out. And then to walk humbly with our God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time he will lift you up in honor. Walk humbly with God. You know what it means to be humble? You know what it means to... Eric doesn't have a clue. No clue. To be humble means to take all of your power and all of your fame, your fortune, your resources, and to put it at God's disposal. Humble means to care more about the other person than you care about yourself. Humble means to put the other person first, to think of them first, yourself last. Even though you have the ability and power to be first, to be the best, you back off and you care more about the other person. That's being humble. And you do that with God. You don't get full of pride. You don't get all puffed up. But you say, God, not my will, but your will be done. That's humility. It doesn't matter what we're able or capable of doing. But it's about what we choose to do. And we choose to put our lives at God's disposal. That is walking humbly with God. And at the right time, God will lift you up in honor. Yeah. See, because according to the world, we may look like losers, but according to God, he's calling us a winner all the way because we walked humbly with him. So, if that is God's, then what does it mean? How do you put the two together? What does it mean? Render unto Caesar's that which is Caesar's, being a good citizen, paying our taxes, taking care of the things that have to be done in the world. And then how do we do at the same time, how do we render unto God that which is God's? Because according to Psalm 24 says that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. So rendering unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, well, even that belongs to God. How do we do that and keep the second part? It's easy. We're just a good Christian. We be a good Christian in everything that we do. When you're paying your bills, you're being a good Christian. When you're dealing with your brothers or sisters or neighbors or coworkers, you treat them justly. You be a good Christian. Your spouse, you be a good Christian. Your children, you be a good Christian to them. You just be a good Christian. Be a good Christian in church. When you go shopping, when you go out to eat, you be a good Christian. You act justly. You love mercy. And you walk humbly with your God. So so that even in while we're rendering unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, the whole time we are being a good Christian and rendering unto God that which is God's. And you know what? When people see us do that, they want, what we have. That's a witness. That's a witness. So that's what that scripture verse means to me. Be a Christian in all that we do every day. Act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Come, Holy Spirit, come and make it so. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God loves you, and so do I.